homicide.
Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056. Or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. I'm Derek Oliver, the CEO of Chaos Talk Radio. It is my privilege and honor to present Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary at Faith Tabernacle Church out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Bible study right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thursday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Thursday night praise and worship service led by Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary. And also on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., their praise and worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Also, you can listen to all the services by phone at 845-277-9094. You can also watch them on Facebook Live by going to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and every Sunday at 11 a.m.
All right. God bless you tonight. We greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, he who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Welcome here to Praise Tabernacle Church Incorporated's Tuesday night Bible study. We are physically located at 877 North Clayton Street, Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30046. We would like to thank God for all of our listeners on tonight, all of you God's children that are tuning in for another great Tuesday night Bible study, all of our listeners here locally, also those that are in Germany, those of you that are in London that are participating in on tonight. We pray that something is said tonight that will be a blessing to you. Thank God for all of you all over the United States, and we give God glory and honor for Elder Derek Oliver. We thank God for his family that's given us this opportunity to continuously spread the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight we have one of our very own. He's no stranger to this format. This is Elder Richard Taylor, our president of our Elders Council, a young man that's been with us for a while now. Very faithful, him and his precious wife, his family, very faithful to our ministry. And he's no stranger. He's a very fine preacher. This is probably going to be the most preaching he's done in a while, preaching and teaching. He's teaching tonight, and he'll be preaching Sunday morning. So y'all make sure you tune in Sunday morning to hear this man preach. You're going to get the opportunity over the next month or so to see all of these ones that you've been listening to be able to put a face with a voice. Elder Blewett, you'll be hearing from him in the next month or so. Evangelist Stanton, within the next month or so. One that has been faithful in supporting this church and I've been able to count on definitely during this pandemic to continuously help us spread the gospel. So we want you to stay tuned on tonight. We're going to say a quick word of prayer, and the next voice you hear would be that of Elder Richard Lee Taylor. Fathers, in Jesus' name, we thank you for tonight. We ask now that you would send your anointing that makes teaching easy. Crown Elder Taylor's head tonight with wisdom and knowledge. Give him what to say, what's needed for your people. And God, we also thank God for Elder Blewett. We know he's on. I don't know if Evangelist Stanton is on tonight, but God, we thank you for her and her husband, Elder Blewett, and his wife. Elder Taylor and his wife, thank you for my wife. And God, we just thank you for what you're doing in this season. And we give you glory and honor, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Elder Taylor, the service is in your hand.
All right. Thank you, Pastor, for that great endorsement. And I just want to thank everybody else again to kind of reiterate what Pastor said about everybody that's on the panel, everybody that's on mostly every week. I just want to say thank you from me as well. Thank you for being on tonight, Ed Oliver. Thank you, Elder Oliver, for what you do for the ministry, within the ministry with Chaos Blog Talk Radio. And for everybody that is tuned in over in England, over in Germany, and I just appreciate you guys tuning in. Hopefully you'll get something out of the word tonight. And all of our Praise Tabernacle saints that are listening tonight, I thank you for being on and listening tonight. And we just want to discuss a few things tonight. And we're going to come out of a very familiar scripture, but we want to drill down into it a little bit. And we want to figure out why he did what he did. Because a lot of people, When they hear this name, they just know, a lot of people just know one thing. They don't know why he moved the way that he did. We just gonna try to figure that out in the first chapter, and it's a good book to read. It's a story of Jonah, okay? And people hear the name Jonah, they be like, oh yeah, he was the one that was in the fish or the one that was in the whale, and he was in there, you know, for 3 days. But why was he there? Why did he run from the presence of God the way that he did? Why was he so upset with God? You know, because God had an assignment for him. And that's what happens with us in our walk with God. How many times have God said, I need you to do X, Y, Z. I need you to go here and talk to this person. Or I need you to go there and talk to those people. And because you're upset with God because he didn't do something previously that you thought he should have done, so you figure, well, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to run because you want me to do something, but you haven't corrected these people yet. And that's where we can find ourselves in today, in our relationship, in our walk with God, the disobedience that we can find ourselves because we can be mad with God or upset. You know, it's been times where, and we're going to get into the word here shortly. It could be times where, let me give you an example, is when, you know, people can lose a loved one and they blame God. And now they, and these are people that's in the church and they can be mad or upset with the Lord. And now they can't do what God is commanding them to do because now they're upset with God. Well, God, if you wouldn't have took this, my mother or my father or my brother or my sister, you know, So now I'm hearing your voice, but now you want me to do X, Y, Z for you, but you allowed my mother or father to go, you know. But there's many examples that we can use. But Jonah is a good example as to why We're going to figure out. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about why did he do what he did. You know, we're going to drill into it a little bit, talk about the city of Nineveh, and go into it and talk about, you know, the city was a populous city. It was very fluent, a large city, a rebellious city, a wicked city. It was a pagan city, first of all. But God had much compassion for this city. And Jonah could not figure out why. And the Assyrian nation, Nineveh, was at its most populous state, was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrians had destroyed and invaded and took over, not taken over, but invaded Israel so many times. And God kept, what's the word that I'm looking for? He showed so much compassion because they would repent. But they were still a pagan city. And so Jonah was upset with God because they've been doing this, and they've been going into our city, into Israel, and invading it and doing all this stuff to us, but you won't do nothing to them. So now Jonah's mad at God. Now God is telling him, well, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to Nineveh. And Jonah was like, nah. Because they've done all this before, you've done nothing to them but show compassion. And Jonah couldn't understand that. So this is why we're talking about, this is where we find ourselves in the first chapter of Jonah. All right, so everybody got their word. Let's go over to Jonah, first chapter. And because he was upset with God, it caused him to be disobedient to God. And how many of you know you can run from God, but you can't hide? I'm a witness to that. I ran, went backslid into the world years ago, and ran from God, ran from what God was calling me to do, because I wanted to do me, and God wasn't in that plan. Jesus was nowhere around for me, as I thought. So I was disobedient. I was doing everything contrary to what the Lord was telling me to do. And it wasn't that I was so upset with God. It's just that I was just in my flesh. But Jonah was upset with God, and we're going to find out. You already know why. Okay. Jonah, the first chapter, first verse. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. Now, Jonah is getting instruction from God here in the second verse. He's getting an instruction. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city. And see, at the time, Nineveh was so large, it would take you about 2 or 3 days to go around the whole city. That's how big it was. That's why God called it that great city. And it was very popular. It had about 120,000 people. That may not sound like a lot, but back then I'm assuming that it was. It was a lot of people that lived in Nineveh, you know. And, like I said, it would take about 2 or 3 days to get around it. And so God is giving Jonah instruction on what to do, okay? And Pastor, y'all can just jump in at any time. I'll let you know when you can jump in, or if you just want to jump in, just go ahead and y'all can just jump right on.
You're doing good, bro.
Verse three. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. from the presence of the Lord. Now, at this point now, Jonah is on the run. So he says, I can't do this. I'm going to try to run from the presence of God. I'm being disobedient. So he says, okay, because like I said before, how many of you know that you can run from God, but you cannot hide from him?
That's right.
And because when God has a plan for you, a purpose for you, then no matter where you go or what you do, me and my wife is talking, she said, but what about people that die and God had a purpose or a plan for them? I said, well, how do we know God had a purpose or a plan for them? I said, because if God is commissioned anybody, whether it be pastor, an elder, a deacon, an evangelist, a brother, a sister in the church, if he has a purpose and a plan for you, specifically you, if he says, Elder Taylor, I want you to do this. I need you to do this. I am commanding you to do this. Not pastors, not Elder Bluett, not Elder Oliver, not Evangelist Stan, not Deacon Stan. I'm telling you, I need you to do this. And I can say, no, I can't do it. I don't want it. For whatever reason, I'm going to run from the presence of God. How many of you know you cannot run from God? Wherever he's purposed for you to do, he ain't going to kill you. He ain't going to let nothing else kill you until you accomplish what he has for you to do, because he needs you to do. God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach repentance to these people. And Jonah was not having none of it because he was upset with God, because he always found the people of Nineveh, the Assyrian nation empire, always found compassion with God. And at this point, God is telling them, I need you to go there and I need you to preach repentance to them. They come before me again with their wickedness, with their idolatry, with their paganness of worship. I need you to go there and I need you to talk to them. All right? So now Nineveh's on the run. So Nineveh went down. He said, okay, well, I'm gonna go to Tarshish, which is probably the west of Israel where he was at. He's going to go west, about 2,000 miles away. Nineveh was probably 300 or 400 miles away in the opposite direction, in the northeast part of where they were in the country. He said, but I'm going to get away from God. So he said, okay, I'm going to go down to Joppa. Now, he kept going down. He said, and I'm going to get on the boat. And I'm going to go down to the bottom of the boat. And I'm going to go to sleep. And then, because he feel like he could just run from God. And again, remember, everyone that's listening, you cannot run from God. You can run. Let me correct myself. You cannot hide from God. You can run, but he always know where you are. He always know what you're doing. And I don't know why Jonah, being who he was, felt like he could run from the presence of God. And so it didn't matter where he went, where he thought he was going to go, or what he thought he was going to do. He was not going to get away from what God purposed for him to do. So he went down to Joppa, paid his fare, got on the ship, went down to the bottom of the ship, and went to sleep. All right? So let's go back into the word. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Now, he owned the ship, and before we even get to that part, verse 5, let's go right into verse 5, and we can tie 4 and 5 together. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it up of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. This ship is being tossed to and fro, and he on the ship sleeps. because he's thinking he done got away from God. Where his disobedience is now affecting other people.
Right.
So when we walk with God and we are disobedient to what God is telling us to do, it affects the other people around us.
Yes.
So now Jonah was on his, he felt like, okay, I'm getting away from my responsibility, from what God is telling me to do. I'm going to go down on this ship. I'm going to the bottom side of this ship. I'm going to relax. I'm going to go to sleep because I feel like I'm getting away from the presence of God. But unbeknownst to him, now the wind, the sea is tossing this boat, this ship all over the place because he's on it. And because he's being disobedient to the presence of God. Now the mariners on the ship are being affected because of Jonah's disobedience. Now they are wondering, why are we going through, why is this happening all around us? They're trying to figure out between themselves and trying to pray to their God, what is happening? Why is this happening to us? Okay, so but Jonah is down in the bottom of the ship, sleep, relax, chilling. Because he felt like he's gotten away from God. Not knowing that this ship is being tossed to and from all over the place. Now, the mariners is upset. They don't know what to do. They throwing stuff off the ship, trying to figure out, you know, we can lighten the ship up. Maybe it'll relax then. Maybe it'll calm itself down then. But no, because God is trying to get to Jonah. And remember, I said it before.
Right.
You can run, but you cannot hide from the presence of God, where he has a purpose and a plan for you to walk with him. Pastor Elder Bluette, y'all got anything y'all like to add or say so far? Evangelist Stanton?
Doc, you hit what I was thinking on the, you hit the head, the nail on the head. Just a lot of times we just feel what we're doing is just affecting us. Not understanding, especially, I often like to say this, especially to fathers, and y'all know me, anybody that's been listening to us or ever heard me preach any messages, I'm a stickler for the man being in place. So it's real important as fathers, as husbands, Not even talking about pastors, because now you deal with pastors, now you're dealing with other folks' families. But before you can deal with other folks' families, you should deal with your family. So it's important for us as men of God, women of God, but let me just speak to the men, to be in place, to be where you're supposed to be, not sometimes, but all the time. Because if you're not in position, you leave room for the devil to come in. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. That's what happened with Adam. That's why God had to ask Adam before he asked Jonah. He had to ask Adam, where art thou? Where you at? So, man, you hit it on the – I'm glad you brought that out, because I was sitting here bubbling over that. You know, what we do affects other people. So that's all I got, man. You teaching tonight, Doc.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I mean, because
yes, sir.
Elder Blue, would you like to add anything?
Well, that was good what Pastor just said, and it sums up a lot of what you're talking about too. But how we live our lives and our conduct can put other lives in danger, can have other lives blessed. So
that's
we
right.
Got to be careful that being obedience to God, that our atmosphere is not rocked.
Come on, preacher.
That others are not troubled and don't even know why, just as
wow.
The men on the ship. And you'll get to that,
right.
Why their world is being rocked. And
right.
They'll come to the finality that is Jonah. But we have to be careful how we carry ourselves. And like you were saying, preacher, you can't hide from God. He knows how to bring us out, I don't care how far we go down and so-called go to sleep or so-called hide ourselves in a garden or in a ship. God knows how to get our attention where we're at to bring us back out.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you'll do that part, but we have to be careful about conduct, what we believe and how we believe it and how we live it. Great lesson.
Absolutely. That is a great point of the book and Pastor Evangelist Satan.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Appreciate this lesson of tonight. I was thinking about Jonah, and, you know, Jonah is considered one of the prophets. Now, here he is, a man that should be excited about giving the word of God. And you know what? It made me think about when we get tired, do we lose that zeal and that zest to want to still deliver the word of God? So we have to be careful even in that, even walk, because here he is, a prophet, hearing a word of God to the people. He was like being disobedient. He was like, oh, I'm too tired today, or I'm going through my own mess, and you want me to go and word of God to people. I'm going through my own trials and tribulations. My family's talking about me, but yet you want me to go down and give the word of God. We have to be mindful to give our stuff to God, continue to do the work of the Lord, so that we don't walk disobedient, so that we don't to run from God and say, God, I got my own stuff going on. Yes, but the word of God says we're supposed to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. We're supposed to give God all of our stuff so that we can continue to do what God has called us to do. Thank you for this lesson on
Great point. Great.
Yeah, all very good points. Because what happens is Jonah was, he was just mad. And his mad, him being upset with God, caused him to walk in disobedience. And because he decided he's going to try to run from the presence of God, he's going to go get on the ship. And now, not only are you just being disobedient, now you disrupt the lives of other people that are around you that really don't even know you. But you disrupt their lives because of your disobedience. They don't know what's going on. Why are they suffering this all this that's going on the ship with them right now? They don't know why this is happening. But they figured it out. Let's go. Let's do 5 and go into 6. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. They were throwing stuff over into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster, verse 6, came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if it so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Now, the shipmaster then found his sleep, and he said, what's the meaning of this? Why are you sleep while all this is going on? To paraphrase it. Why are you sleeping and all this stuff is going on? Pray to your God, and maybe your God will see fit to fix this. Because as we read earlier, in the earlier verses, they was praying to their God. Did we not read that? They was praying to their God, and obviously it wasn't working. They was praying to their little g God. So the shipmaster asked Jonah to pray to your God and see if he can do something about it. So, verse 7, and they said everyone to his fellows, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now, they done figured it out now. The old sleeper that was in down there in the bottom, he's the reason why we're going through this. But they still didn't understand why what he did for them to be going through this. But we're getting ready to find out. Verse 8. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? So they trying to fix, we need to know everything that's going on with you. We need to know who you are, where you're from, what kind of people you come from. We need to know all these things about you so we can try to get a handle on what's going on. Now, mind you, the ship ain't ceased from tossing and turning and the sea being wild and moving the ship all around while they're talking to Jonah. This is still going on. This hasn't ceased at all. So they, in the midst of them trying to figure all of this out, this sea is being, I can imagine, like it's going to be capsized. All because of Jonah. All because of his disobedience. Just remember, everyone that's listening here, is that our disobedience, how it can affect people around us. And the thing about this lesson is that these people didn't even know him, and it affected them. These people, they had no idea who he was or where he come from, but it affected them. Can you imagine the people that are close to you when we are disobedient to God and how it could affect people that are even close to you? Because Jonah didn't know these people either. So some people could be like, I don't even know y'all, I could care less. But what if it happens to people that you know and that you love, that you care about, that you have a direct relationship with, because I choose to be disobedient to God, and now these things are starting to affect me, so now it's starting to affect people around me that see me day every day, day in and day out. It can extend from your home over into your job, over into your workforce, where you work at. It can affect people like that. So we have to be cognizant of these kinds of things when God issues a commandment to us to do something for him. And God could have said, okay, I'm going to get somebody else to do this. You go on about your business, and I just get somebody else. No. Not so. God wanted Jonah to do it. And when God wants you, a specific person, to do a specific thing, that's what he wants. That's what he desires. Because when God wants you to do something specific, that only he only wants, there's a reason why he wants a specific person to do a specific thing, to get a specific result. And he wasn't going to let Jonah get away with it, as we're going to find out a little later. He wasn't going to let Jonah get away with it. You're going to do this. I don't care how far you go down. I don't care how far you get away from me, or think you're getting away from me. You're going to do this, Jonah. If I had to isolate you to get you by yourself, anybody got anything? All right, verse 9.
I'm good, bro.
And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Now he's telling them who he is. Then verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid. They was not just a little bit afraid. They was exceedingly afraid because now they know the God that Jonah served, the God of heaven and earth, the sea, dry land. So now they're like, whoa, he served that God? Because honestly, these Mandans were probably pagan worshipers. You know, it don't say that they were, but I'm just assuming that they probably were. Okay? Bible don't say that they were or not. And verse 10 again. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? Why did you do this, man? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And you running from God, don't you know? You can't run from your God. You can't run from him. So now they try, why you do this? Why you come on our ship trying to run from God? And because you running from God, now we're suffering along all this stuff, and you seem to be at peace with it. Because you run from God, and we don't understand what's happening or what's going on. But John told him, I'm Hebrew, and I serve the God that made heaven and earth, dry land, the sea. That's the God that I serve. Now they're really upset. They're afraid. They don't understand. Why you come on our ship running from God? You know, you ever had anybody know that you're supposed to do something? And know that you're running from God and see you going through, always going through something because you're disobedient to God. He's trying to get your attention, trying to get you to hear him, trying to get you to understand. Like I said, I guess you can, if you wanted to use a title for tonight, you can run, but you can't hide. Like I said, I have a purpose for you. Specifically for you. It is for you.
I like that.
Because no one else can do it like God wants you to do it.
Yes, sir.
If he's called you to preach, if he's called you to teach, if he's called you to be a pastor, an apostle, or whatever it is, a deacon, an elder, a prophet, a prophetess, whatever it is that God has put in your heart, it spoke to you. It, even if he just says, I need you to go over and talk to Evangelist Stanton, you could just be a lady member. You just be a brother and sister in the Lord. And he said, I need you to go over and share a word, this word, a specific word, with Evangelist Stanton, because she need to hear that. But because you see her, you see Evangelist Stanton, I hope you don't mind me using you as an example, but you see Evangelist Stanton get away with a whole bunch of stuff with God. And she don't never seem to be going through nothing, seem to be punished at all by God. I ain't going over there and talk to her. She get away with murder. You see, you let her do everything. You let her get away with it. I don't see her going through nothing. But God has told you. But see, you don't know what she's really going through. You're just on the outside looking in. But God is telling you, I need you to go over and speak to her. Speak this word of encouragement to her. But because you see everything that's going on the outside, like Jonah saw everything that was going on with the Nineveh, with the Assyrian Empire. How they came in and just ramshotted through Israel, and God seemed to always find, they always seemed to find compassion with God. Jonah's upset about that, but now he won't. But now he's giving Jonah. He says, Jonah, I need you to go to these people, to the great city. But Jonah's like, no. And that's how we can be today. You know.
Yes, sir.
And so now, because you being disobedient as a man or woman of God, regardless of what title you think you might have or whatever, now the word has not gotten to Evangelist Stanton. Because you turned from God, and now you're going to try to walk away from the presence of God, because now I can't speak to that situation now. So now I'm going to get away from God. But God said, oh, no, you don't do this. Regardless of what you say or what you think, when God tells you you're going to do it, he will whoop you until you get it right. Me, you, and whoever else can be a disobedient, he will whoop us until we get it right.
That's right. Yeah. Elder, I just wanted to say, the point that you brought out, see, people think you have to be called into ministry, you know, with the title having minister or elder or evangelist. But like you just said, God can call you just to be a witness to what he's done in your life. I was talking to a young man tonight. I was saying, the thing about the witness is tell exactly what has happened in your own life. And a witness is so crucial because a witness gives the exact eye account of what they have seen. And what do in your own life and what God has done in your own life, that brings testimony to others to what God has done for you. You may not even know a scripture, but you can say to somebody, you know, I don't know where it says in the scripture, but I know that when I was sick and I called on the name of Jesus, I know that he healed my body. Now, I can't tell you what he's done for you, but I can tell you what he's done for me. That alone may shake somebody's faith to say, wait a minute, if God did it for Sister Stanton, then I know that God can do it for me. So our could just be to love others. Our calling could be to forgive somebody. Our calling could be just being a witness to what God has done in your life. It doesn't mean that you have to be called into the ministry to do that.
Yeah.
That is just as important as somebody called into the ministry. The only thing is required of us, open your mouth.
Yes.
Open your mouth.
Yes.
Open your mouth and share with somebody what God has done for you. Because that can change. That can change their whole life.
Yeah. And see, the thing is, see, with the fact that Jonah was a Hebrew, and the fact that the Assyrian Empire always or frequently went through Israel and raided it occasionally. And for Jonah to go into the city that has always raided his country, his land, and if they heard from him, well, what, this guy, we raided his land, pillaged his land, stole from his land, and now he's preaching repentance to us and saying, basically saying, I forgive you. Because of the God that he served. So God knew what he was doing when he was telling Jonah, I know I want you to go preach repentance to these people. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea is rough and was tempestuous. All right? And they're asking him. They're asking Jonah, okay, what should we do? What should we do with you? Now that we know that you are the reason behind all of this. All right? Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was rough and was tempestuous against them. They tried not to have to do what they ended up doing to Jonah. Because after they asked him, what should we do with you? Then in the next verse, it said that they rowed hard trying to get to land. They rowed their best. They rowed their hardest to try to get, because they didn't want to do what they were going to have to do. And see, that just tells you, like, it don't matter what you do, how you try to fix it, God, if you have to do it the way God says do it. They tried to save Jonah. They rode hard to get to the land.
Uh-huh.
In spite of what was going on. But God said, no. This is not going to calm down. The sea is not going to calm down. It's going to be very rough. It's going to be tempestuous. Y'all not going to get to the land to save him. Jonah still had to deal with the fact of his disobedience and why
right.
he was trying to run from God. He had to still deal with that. And regardless if the mariners on the ship tried to help him, tried to row hard to the land so they can get to dry land, God said, no, not so. The sea still was raw. It was still tempting. And they couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
They still
yes,
couldn't
sir.
Get there. In spite of it, they still couldn't get there. Okay, where we at here?
Hey,
verse 12. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Elder. Hey, on that verse 12. And he said unto
uh-huh.
them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm
right.
unto you. Well, I know that the,
mm-hmm.
For my sake. This, so he, you know, are we, you know, we make mistakes, all of us. I don't care if you got a title or not, if you're in the corporate world or not, or wherever. We all got this thing about us that we can't admit mistakes, that we can't admit that we're wrong, that we can't subdue ourselves, even when we're noticed by others. And what Jonah did just now in that verse 12, that I was wrong. And for the congregation or the people in the boat to get, for them to be good, for them to live, for them not to be destroyed, I got to remove myself. See?
Great point.
And he's giving them direction, okay? He's giving them direction. It's okay to talk to me. It's okay to tell me of my mistakes. It's okay for you to come over the top because I was wrong down beneath, see? So it's good if we can humble ourselves. It's good
wow.
if we can just say, what, I was wrong. Do with me what you will. In other words, when you do that, you will be saved and I'll be corrected. So we got to be careful where we stand on certain situations, where we stand on our conversations, where we stand on what we think is right without asking God what is right. So we got to be careful that we not put others in jeopardy because of our immaturity. That's all I got. I can go further, but you know what I'm saying. Great lesson.
That is a great Elder Blue, you hit what I was sitting here thinking about, man. And I put myself kind of examining me, saying, would I, for the sake or the safety of others, do I have enough power in myself to remove myself if it's going to benefit others? Or am I at the frame of mind where I'm going to do what I want to do regardless? No matter who it affects, no matter what the consequences, I'm going to do what I think I'm big and bad enough to do. Challenge every fivefold, whether, you know, prophet, apostle, bishop, whatever you claim to be, do you have enough God in you that for the sake of the people, you will remove yourself, and as you said, Elder Blewett, allow God to deal with you while the people remain safe. Man, that is wow. Y'all could teach this for the next month or so. If we just take self-examination, how long do other folks have to suffer because of our actions? You know, and that's from the pulpit to the back door. You know, some of us are so arrogant, we're so prideful, we're stubborn. where it's my way or the highway, you know, there's no type of reasoning. So it just makes me think to take self-examination, Omar, for the sake of the people, will you remove yourself? And like you said, not just church, but on my job, you know, family, you know, just my community, you know, am I causing the uproar everywhere I go? So, man, this is great tonight.
Have Taylor still on?
Well, he might have jumped overboard.
Boy.
You know, he called Jonah Janae earlier today, so he might have jumped overboard. Thank God Mike got a little goldfish for him. did we lose Taylor for real? Oliver, did we lose Taylor? No, Jonah done jumped over the ship. Either he jumped over or Sister Mel throwed him over. Well, let's do this. Evangelist Stanton?
Yes, sir.
If you can just give, we ain't got but a few more minutes. If you can, let's take a break and give the offertorial information, and we'll see if Taylor's back when we come back. If not, we're going to have to go fishing and try to find him.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor. We are so excited that you decided to join us tonight. Our Tuesday Bible study. We are coming out of the book of Jonah this evening. So tonight we just want to take a moment to give you the opportunity to give. The only thing that we ask is that you don't give grudgingly or under compulsion, but give from a cheerful heart. And it doesn't matter the size of the offering. When it comes from your heart, God can take it and use it and bless it and multiply it in your life. So there are several ways that you can give. You can give by Cash App, and the Cash App is PTC877. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or you can give by debit card, credit card, or PayPal. And the telephone number for our office is 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-056. And we're so excited that you joined us on tonight. Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you or Elder Taylor. Thank you.
In the word of God. Okay, Ellen Taylor, is that you?
Yeah.
I hear Taylor, are you in the belly of the whale?
No, I'm not.
You ain't in the belly?
I don't know what happened.
Oh, man. We thought Shamu had swallowed you up.
We thought he got swept overboard.
Yeah, look, Ella Taylor, I'm about to sing this song, man. Yeah. Throw me overboard. I got a hiding place.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Go ahead, bro. Glad to have you back on. Go ahead, man.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. The call just dropped, so I had to try to get back on. So I'm back. All right. So where we at? Y'all got me all messed up here. All right, verse 14.
Verse 13.
Nevertheless, the men rode hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Again, they tried hard. They tried hard to get to the land, so they don't have to do what they ended up doing with Jonah. Okay, verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So now they asking the Lord, Lord, please don't let this blood be upon us. We beseech thee, you know, we cried unto the Lord, and we beseech thee, and let us not perish for this man's life. Don't let us die because of him. You know, but we don't want his innocent blood upon our hands.
That's right.
So what should we do? We don't want to die because of him, but we don't want his blood upon our hands. So verse 15 says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now, can you imagine Jonah did this willingly? He said, just throw me over. Because he figured, I don't know what he figured, but I'm just going to assume, I'm going to isolate this a little bit, that he just said, if y'all throw me overboard, then I'm just going to go further away from the presence of God. I went down to Joppa, then I went down to the bottom of the ship, now I'm going to go down to the bottom of the ocean. And y'all throw me overboard. And now I'm not even going to be, now I really don't have to do what God is telling me, because I'm going to drown. I'm going to be, you know, fish bait. I'm going to go down, down, down. I really don't have
That's
to do
good.
What God is telling me to do now. So just throw me overboard. Y'all be safe, and I'm good with whatever happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
But little do he know that God has a plan. And let's go into the next verse.
Elder Taylor, before you get into that, I just saw something, if you don't mind,
okay.
sir. Okay,
ahead,
I just
ahead.
Saw. When Jonah in verse 12, you know, when he on himself to say, wait a minute, you know, it's me, the, you know, correction
mm-hmm.
with himself. I just noticed in
mm-hmm.
verse 14, the men began to cry unto the Lord. Now,
uh-huh.
they begin to cry unto
uh-huh.
them, but if you go back to earlier in the ship, they were
mm-hmm.
all worshiping their own God, their little g.
Right.
But when
right.
Jonah
right.
in verse 12 says, okay, you know
mm-hmm.
what, I'm wrong, this is my doing, they began
mm-hmm.
to cry upon the name of the Lord. See,
right,
he was
right.
ready because he took self-examination. He already
wow.
started changing people around him even before he got to Nineveh.
Wow.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You own it. You own it. I saw the same thing.
Because they knew who his God was. That's why they said that they were exceedingly afraid when he told them who he was. And the God that he worshipped. That's why they said, that's why the scripture says that they were exceedingly afraid. And so why in 14, they began to pray to his God.
Right.
Hey, Elder.
Go ahead, Evangelist. Because he finally took the position and said, I got to take self-examination. So when they
mm-hmm.
saw that, they saw the realness of what the power of his God could do by him taking self-examination. Who wants to take ownership of their faults? But when you do it in front of other people, people see you fall upon the rock of God, they say, wait a minute.
Come on.
Didn't it really be something about this God that they would take ownership of what they've done, of what they're doing? And you know what? Maybe there is something to this God that I heard about earlier, because I've heard about the Hebrew God. But now I'm witnessing and I'm seeing what he can really do in the life of somebody.
Come on.
Go ahead.
Hey, can I add to that? Oh, you hit right there. I wanted to say that, but you got it. But it's there's a lot of folk that play with God, a lot of folk that play with other gods. And this is a case where they were just playing with other gods because there wasn't really going on in their life. But when something happens in your life and you know somebody that do go to church, that you know somebody that do worship God, you would turn from that and turn to them, see? And then you'll start praying to their God, which is our God, Jesus Christ. So it's how people turn. You know, you ever had somebody that didn't really want to hear what you had to say or didn't really want to be around you because, you know, now and then you mention something about Jesus, and now and then you say a little prayer over your food, you know. But when they get in trouble, mm-hmm. see, they come to you and ask mm-hmm. you to give them a little prayer. And this is
great.
The case right here where they was praying to other gods or to empty space. Mm-hmm. And Jonah had told him beforehand that I had ran from God. But when he identified
right.
himself as a Hebrew, they understood that this is the God that brought folk out of Egypt. This is the God that
right.
put plagues on. This is the God
yeah.
that kingdoms and kings,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, so they knew who this Hebrew God was. So we got to be careful how we conduct ourselves, how we carry ourselves, because in this case, if nothing ever happened, if nothing would have never happened to the sea, and they could have still sailed on, they would have never had changed or knew or acknowledged this Hebrew God. See, it would have never have happened. So God will place us, along with those around us, in situations to bring praise to Him. So we got to be careful again how we carry ourselves, because we're carrying the name of God. And we can't blaspheme God by how we carry ourselves. And we have to carry ourselves in the image and nature of God. We have to be careful.
Yes, sir.
This is a prime example of somebody to say they believe in God. This is a prime example of how people see or witness a person turning away from God. And this is the justification of it from God, that I will punish everybody around you for you not being around me. So we have
wow.
to be careful how we conduct and carry ourselves, because it could harm, as I said earlier, it could harm the lives of others when we're selfish. Great. That was
wow.
great, Evangelist. Great, great, great.
Elder Taylor, before you cross, can I say one other thing before you cross, before you jump back into the river again? what Elder Bluette just said, that happened to me today, and I'm hoping that the young lady is on. Hopefully she's listening to the Bible study. But earlier today, I got a call. A young lady visited our church back in, I think, January, February, and you know, of course, with the pandemic, everything, we closed down, you know, whatever, in March and all that went on. We hadn't heard from the young lady, hadn't talked to her, hadn't seen her in, you know, since like January. But she had some trouble to happen in her life, and she spoke to a close family friend of hers, which encouraged her to find a pastor, find a church, you know, get involved in the church, get involved with Bible study and different things like that. Came to mind after 9-10 months was Praise Tabernacle. And the only church that she could think of was our church. And she called me a few hours ago, and everything Elder Bluette just said is kind of what the conversation, all the way up until 2 or 3 minutes before Bible study started, I was on the phone praying for her, praying with her, different things like that, and letting her know if she's ready, really ready to commit to God, then God ain't forgot about her. And I was encouraging the young lady to tune in to the Bible study, listen to the Bible study, and gave her the other church information that we have going on, to the point that she's really ready to not just come to church, but be a part of our church and become a member and an active member of Praise Tabernacle, all because of us being in position. Even though we haven't seen this person in 9-10 months, we are still in position to minister. And that's what we got to always remember. No matter where mm-hmm. you are, you should be in position to minister. You should be in position to help pray somebody through. You should be in position to give a word of comfort, a word of deliverance. If we were not in position, this young lady, which it came out, she had contemplated suicide. You know, different things have been going on. There's been a lot of spiritual, demonic warfare, spiritual warfare that's been going on with her. But thank God we was in position to say, you know what? The church is officially opening back up this Sunday. And I want you to be a part and to come on in Sunday, because there is room on this ship for you to get on, and we can help guide you to safety. Just from being in position. Just after 10 months. 10 months.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Our church, the little church in Lawrenceville, our church
little
is the
church.
One that the young lady remembered and decided to reach out to in her time of need when she needed safety. And I'm just grateful to God that we was in position to be able to assist her. Now, she's planning to be at church and to join the church this coming Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. Yes, sir, we got to be careful. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, we're going to read verse 15 and end with 16, okay? So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. It stopped. So now they see, now that Jonah's overboard, now they see the sea has calmed itself. It stopped its raging. So then what do they think? What do they say? In verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Does that mean, could it mean that they were now converted because of what they saw? Because they saw the power of God? They saw the power of Jonah's God? Because they saw the power of God that Jonah says that he served, that Jonah said that he feared? As the veteran said before, they recognize now who his God is.
Uh-huh.
And they said it before, earlier in the scriptures before, when he told them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord of heaven and the land and the sea. And then they were exceedingly afraid. Could it mean that verse mean that now they were changed? Because now that they saw what happened and they saw the power of Jonah's God and how what happened with the sea and how it ceased from raging once Jonah was overboard? Could be.
Hey, Elder.
Yes.
That's how Jesus' ministry was. It was the miracles that drew attraction. It was the healings, the raising of the dead, right? But it was the most powerful thing was his gospel. Not go say anything because of the miracles, but he wanted people to be obedient unto the gospel of what he said about God.
Yes, sir.
That's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so this miracle of the sea being calm now was a miracle to draw their attention. And they gave God praise for it. See, so they turned to God. So it's about our actions and how we live our life and how we even reply to questions about us, how we even reply to comments about us, because it's not about us. It's about God. Go ahead, sir.
If you read the second chapter in Jonah, it tells you how God isolated him. It says that God prepared a great fish for Jonah and how he isolated him and got Jonah by himself, where nobody else was affected by what Jonah had to do in the belly of this great fish. God isolated him so that only Jonah can hear from God, so that only Jonah can be corrected and deal with God on a one-on-one basis. So chapter 2 is very good, and it deals, because sometimes God had to get us by ourselves. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done, Pastor. God has to get us by ourselves to deal with us, to deal with me, to deal with Elder Taylor, where there's not a lot of commotion going on around me. And so he may say, I need to isolate you for a little while so I can deal with you about X, Y, Z, and so that you could go to a place where I need you to go in me. So I can get you ready to go to a place where you could go preach repentance to a place like Nineveh, if I was Jonah, so that I could be in position spiritually, you know. So he has to fix. So he had to fix Jonah. So he isolated him for 3 days and 3 nights down in the belly of the fish, and way down in the sea. And then, if you keep reading on through there, then he came back up. And I believe it's somewhere that says Jesus kind of likened Jonah to himself with the death,
right,
burial, and the resurrection.
That's right.
You know, so a lot of times God will get you by yourself and deal with you. Deal with your disobedience, deal with whatever it is that you got going on that affects you from doing what he wants you and needs you, a specific thing that he wants you to do for him. Because we all should be able to teach and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should all be able to teach Jesus. Everybody, regardless of what title you got, it don't matter. Just a brother or sister in the kingdom of God. We should all be able to do that. We should all be able to share Jesus with somebody.
That's
and
right.
Then there are times where God has, a specific deal just for you, just for Elder Taylor. I just need you to do this. Nobody else can do this but you. And if you run, you can't hide, because I'm still going to get you and you're still going to do it. And this is kind of like with Jonah found himself. Regardless of why, don't do it. You know, why be disobedient? But God said, you're going to do it. If I got to isolate you, to get you by yourself and deal with you one-on-one, you're going to do it. You know, and it's not, there's no whooping like a godly whooping. Like God can whoop you. You know, because God can put stuff on you that can't no man take it off. So it's important that we be cognizant, have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, and be obedient,
right,
to what he is saying unto us. All the time. Not just sometimes, but all the time. Because it's going to be beneficial to us and to the people that we go deal with. It's going to be beneficial for them. And it's going to be beneficial to us, because then we can see the power of God working in the situation. So that's not going to do anything but encourage us to continue to do what God say do. When we, like Elder Bluett said, when we see the miracles that God brings forth because of our obedience.
Right.
Bottom line. So I ask everyone that's listening tonight, I pray that everybody got something from any one of us that spoke tonight, any one of us that shared a note tonight. I hope somebody got something out of it. It's something that I said, Pastor said, or the Bluett, the Stanton. One of us could have said something that brought thought, that provoked thought in you as a believer or a non-believer.
Yes, sir.
Say that I need to be obedient to the presence of God in my life. Self-evaluate. Look at the man in the mirror.
Right.
And say, how does this word affect me? And how can I share it with someone else? And then we move on to the next thing. So, Pastor, that's it. That's all I got. And I pray that the people were blessed. And I pray that you guys were blessed. And that is all. Thank you, sir.
Doc, that was great, man. I got so many folks hitting my phone up. That was great. Wow. Elder Bluett, any final comments you would like to make?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Great lesson, Elder Taylor. Great lesson. We just got to be careful, as you know, people of God in general. We just got to be careful. But one thing about Jonah is that he told them that he was fleeing from God, and that was like a confession. And in chapter 2, where God captured him from being thrown over into the sea where he could have drowned, where he could have lost his life in disobedience to God, but God still prepared for his life to be restored in the belly of the whale or the great fish. See, and it's something about being a man of God or a woman of God or even a child of God, that if we would confess our sins, that if we would ask God for repentance, God is always available through his son, Jesus Christ, to hold us, to keep us, to comfort us, even to correct us, that we may still move on in his word, that we still may move on, as Elder Taylor said, and just pronounce Jesus, whoever you are, be able to go on in life and do that. So we got to be careful how we reject. No one, Now, one thing about the book of Jonah is that Jonah knew that God was going to save Nineveh. And he didn't like that because of what Elder Taylor said earlier about what Nineveh had done to the people of Israel.
Yep.
He knew that they were going to, he was going to save them, and he didn't want that. And we cannot, we cannot take it upon ourselves for judgment. We cannot take it upon ourselves to do them right if we speak to them about Jesus. We can't do that. That has, we can't do that. We can't do that. And that's, go ahead.
Wow.
Good note.
Great
good,
point.
Good note here.
Great point. Evangelist Stanton, any last words for tonight?
Thank you, Pastor. Great lesson on tonight, Elder Taylor.
Thank you,
man. That self-examination thing really got me. Self-examination. It's okay to sit down and examine where you're at. It's okay. And if there needs to be some correction, it's okay. Because you would rather fall upon the rock instead of the rock falling upon you. You want to fall upon God and say, God, I need to change. You don't want the rock to fall upon you. You don't. You want to fall upon God. And you know, the thing I love about God is he's right there for you. He's right there for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. When you fall upon God with a broken and contrite spirit and say, God, forgive me, God is willing to dust you off, get you up, and continue you on your journey. So wherever you are in your life on tonight, I would beg you to fall upon your face and ask God to forgive you, because he's right there for you, and he's willing and able to do this. Great lesson on tonight, Elder. Thank you, Pastor. I'll turn it back over to you.
Good.
All right. All right. I tell you what, I just want to thank y'all for a great lesson. I already know that the saints were inspired and feels motivated based on what the teaching was tonight. I got a message from the young lady I was just telling y'all about, and she tuned in, and we just thank God for her. Yeah, she tuned in and she heard the study on tonight, and we had no idea that we was going to go in that direction, but God knows. God knows, and we are grateful tonight. So let's keep Sister Lewis, that's her last name, Sister Lewis, let's keep her lifted up in prayer. And as we stated, we know my family will be out of town Sunday, but I told her that doesn't stop the church, that doesn't stop the word from going forth. We'll have capable enough elders and evangelists in the service on Sunday morning that will be able to help put her up before the Lord in prayer. and to talk with her. And I told her we're going to be there for her. And we're just grateful to God on tonight. Elder Taylor, man, I've heard you preach several messages and teach several messages, but tonight I think you kind of outdid yourself. So I'm going to ask your wife to go ahead on and make you a bowl of chitlins and pinto beans. Because when you come up out of that lake, you're going to be hungry for some chitlin and pinto beans. So we made great teaching. Great teaching on tonight. So on behalf of me and our leadership team, my precious wife, she's here. It was so good tonight, man. My wife is sitting here taking notes that she's ready to teach this all over again. She's sitting here taking notes from the service on tonight. So, great job, Praise Tabernacle. Great job. I'm just glad to be numbered amongst y'all. So, but Elder Taylor, I want you to know, man. Sometimes sometimes we may not hear it enough as preachers and evangelists, but my phone is just keep folks are texting me from all over the place ching on tonight, man. And I just want you to know people were encouraged. So, Evangelist Stanton, thank you so much. As always, your input, Elder Bluett, our rabbi, as always, your input. And y'all just remember, we may can't see it, but we are reaching all over the world. And we may not see it, but one of these days, our record will be revealed. Because the Lord is taking note. And it could be somebody in London that we may not ever meet, but because they heard the teaching on tonight, someone in Germany that we may not ever meet, but it'll be a part of our record that they received Christ, that their life was encouraged just through Praise Tabernacle's leadership team. Thank you all so much. Amen. Let's say a word of prayer. We want everyone to tune back in on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries, y'all can tune in Facebook Live or call this same number with Chaos and be a part of our Thursday night, my family's Thursday night service. We serve God by serving you. And we just appreciate you coming and being a part of our Thursday night fellowship. Father, in Jesus' name, once again, we thank you. We believe by faith that you was magnified and glorified on tonight just from the results of what we're already, the response that we're receiving from your people. We know your word won't return to your void. We ask now that you will restore the virtue that was delivered out on tonight by way of Elder Taylor and the other part of our leadership team. We glorify you. We magnify you. We thank you for this avenue, Chaos Blog Talk Radio, that has allowed us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. And we just thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for the new doors that you're opening. We heard on last night about another door, about the Bahamas, that's possibly going to be open for us to be preaching the gospel in Nassau, Bahamas. And God, we just thank you for that opportunity. And before we leave this place, but never your presence, as always, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.